All right, guys, we're back. Here we are. We've been chatting off screen before we started, but this is we're back in action. We've been gone for a few weeks. This is episode 32, believe it or not, we're there.
Yes.
And we actually have a special guest today, but before I say that, we're going to be getting into some financing. So we've covered this before. Obviously is being coming I mean it's the importance is ridiculous, right? But we're gonna get a little deeper here because we've got some special guests that are it's very relative to their world that Tom was able to bring in. So Tom, I'll let you take it away. The band's back together. We'll go ahead and introduce who we got here and we'll get the show on the road.
Thank you very much, Colton. As I believe some of the listeners know that has watched in the past, I have a company called IHCS Finance. Stands for In-Home Comfort Solutions. At IHCS Finance, what we do is we work with contractors to help them with their consumer and commercial financing. We act like a back office finance department, so they can give us their customers. We figure out where their score is, and we can help them whether they're great scores, medium scores, or not so great scores. Fortunate today, we have one of our very strong lenders with IHCS here. She is with a lender, and she's going to tell us a little bit about kind of the state of the union and the finance space and what have you. What's nice about this particular lender is that she can cover not only the prime, but as well as what we call second look in the industry, from 850 to 550. Most lenders are either prime or their second look or they're the low credit scores. She's prime and second look, which makes our life a little bit easier, and we're really excited to have
Sure.
Michelle. Please welcome Michelle.
Yeah. Thank you for coming, Michelle. Appreciate you being here. We're excited to hear from you.
You bet.
Yes, Michelle.
Hi, Jason.
How are you?
I am good. Very good.
Good. We're excited to have you. So it's definitely a
Yeah.
hot topic. We go over quite a bit. So we'll let Tom to keep taking it away, but I know there's gonna be a ton of questions.
Yeah, let's just jump into background, Tom. Whatever you want to hit first, let's just get the ball rolling.
One of the things is that, and I know this, but you may speak a little bit about the different verticals that you cover. It's not just HVAC, you cover many other verticals. Can you give us a little detail on that, Michelle, of what the verticals you cover?
Yeah, absolutely. So the way I like to say it is if a product is left with the home when it sells, we can finance it. So windows, doors, roofing, turf, HVAC, you name it, insulation, foundation, and we can finance it.
And
Interesting.
remember, folks, people buy payments.
Absolutely.
Tom got his signed frame now for anybody that is going to listen to this and watch the live stream. It's he's got the signed frame, so he's getting serious on the on his side.
He's totally correct because if you think about it, if you go to check out on Amazon, if you go to check out on Home Depot, any website
Absolutely.
you go to buy on these days, the consumers are 100% sensitized to paying for things with a monthly payment, leaving their money in the bank, and financing it. It's just the way that the world has become over the past couple of years.
Correct. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it is quite literally everywhere. Right. Obviously, we're gonna get specific in terms of, our industries in the home service space, but it is everywhere. Like I just went, it's funny that you say that. I went, I bought like a hat or oh, I don't even remember what it was. It was something so small, but it was like the option was there. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So it really is everywhere. But and Tom and yeah, Tom was nice enough to for context here. Tom was nice enough to send over some of the things he wanted to talk about and some questions and stuff. And there were some things that were stood out to me in my limited knowledge. Obviously, not being in the finance space, just working with companies through that process, and obviously them having lenders and things of that nature. And Tom, you just briefly talked about it, so feel free to cut me off if I'm jumping the gun a little bit. But in terms of like the second look. And Michelle's ability to be able to look at prime, which I don't know, do you guys have, first questions first, do you have like a breakdown and is there usually like an amount of customers that are prime, amount of customers that are subprime, like is there a percentage that you're usually seeing? And then with that being said, I mean, how important, if you could just talk about like how many deals get done in the second look, how much of a difference does that make if I'm asking that question even correctly? Two questions there, I guess.
So percentage-wise, it is really geographic specific
Yeah, that makes sense.
as to the breakdowns of what's going to come into you know, the higher level prime, the mid, and the lower. It's very demographic based.
Yeah.
I'm thinking if we're looking at A and B paper, probably about 55 to 60%.
Really?
Is what we're seeing. It's also what I found out. So a little background, I used to be a contractor before I came to what I call the dark side of financing. What was I going to say on that? I don't even remember. But it's time of year. It's also of year based. You watch Christmas come up. You watch people's scores go down. You watch them pay your bills. It comes back up. You know, it's timely based upon disasters, right? Floods, hurricanes, whatever it is. The credit quality that's going to apply at different times of the year, different situations, is always going to be very different. As far as people that follow through upon that, there is no difference. If you need a roof, if you need an HVAC, you know, unfortunately, it doesn't matter if your credit is fabulous or it's not so good. If you got to have it, you got to have it.
Correct.
So you're going to do it. You're going to follow through.
So even just to maybe take and sorry, not to cut you off, Tom, but just a question for myself and I'm sure people listening. So you mentioned, we're talking about prime and we're talking about subprime, we're talking about second look and we're talking about things like that. Can you, and I know these ranges change and fluctuate. Can you kind of explain what that is? Like, what is considered prime? What's considered the next steps under that? What are the ranges, right? So we have some context to kind of what you're talking about.
So it's going to vary by lender. Okay. What one lender considers prime, another one may not. Okay.
Yeah.
But generally speaking, a prime, even if you were going for a mortgage, right? I literally just bought a house. Even if you're going for a mortgage, your prime is going to be in that 700 plus.
Okay.
That's just what it's going to be. Your middle of the road, those 600 to 700s, but the sub prime that very few lenders will approve is that 550 to 600 range.
Okay. What do you see? That makes complete sense. And Tom's talked about that in the past, and I've just kind of picked up on the lingo a little bit, because he'll say people will buy down to a certain amount, right? I'm assuming that's like what he meant, like to buy down as low as, is that kind of what you were talking about, Tom? Like as low as 700 for prime or as low as?
And what we've seen also in the past couple of years is what someone would call themselves, like, for example, one of the bank partners that we use. They used to buy down to 630. Now, with as credit card debt going high, first payment defaults becoming higher than normal, they're moving their FICO floor up. So if they're a prime that used to buy down to 630, now they've moved it up to 680, 700. Now that leaves a void below them, and somebody's got to fill that. That's the beauty about Michelle and her lender, is that she covers from 850 down to 550 FICO score. When you go to a customer's house and the grass is cut real nice and there's two nice cars in the driveway, you can't expect them to have an 850 FICO score.
Correct.
Okay, so being able to go in there, sit at the kitchen table, present the quote, and then ask how they're going to pay for it, and they say financing, and you ask them how's their credit, they go, oh, pretty good. Yep, pretty good. That usually means they have a different credit. So from that standpoint, you the dealer, the contractor, has to have options for all credit scores, because he doesn't know going into the house of what that's going to be about. And Michelle's able to.
She can run that range.
Down to that 50, that second
line. I think we can relate to that pretty drastically. I mean, we are always on here with Jason, and he's always doing his lawn. He's always cutting stuff the other day. And I was texting him with him the other day, and he said, no, I'm only a 450. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Another thing I would interject too is FICO's not the only thing that you look at, right? Mm. You're looking at a whole lot of other factors, one of those being debt to income. So I'm going to use your example of the cut the yard, two nice cars. Maybe they make a whole lot of money and maybe they spend a whole lot of money.
Yeah.
And their debt to income is way up over, you know, 70%. And that's going to be a factor for anybody getting approved as well.
Absolutely.
And we look at like 138 different factors when we're approving people. So it's more than just that credit score.
Michelle, do you guys lend nationwide or?
Yep.
Okay. And I was wondering about that previously. I don't want to cut us off in our train of thought, but you were mentioning like it really does depend on the location, which I assumed, you know, I assumed that'd be your answer when I'd asked that, right? Because obviously, you know, that makes complete sense. Do you have like certain processes set up for different, like, let's just say you have a location, you know, for a fact, they're going to come through as a subprime, or like, no, I shouldn't say, you know, for a fact, but the odds are high, right? Do you have a different system of process that you go through there, or is it all the same? And then they just funnel to where they belong type of deal.
We funnel to where they belong. There is, you cannot, there's a Truth in Lending Act in this world, and you cannot discriminate based upon geography, age,
gotcha,
race, or anything else. So nope, everybody falls into the same bucket. Everybody falls out into wherever they belong.
That makes sense. How long does your process take? So like, what does that turnaround look like for the contractor?
So of course there's an algorithm. Everybody has a software algorithm these days. If it ticks all the boxes in that algorithm, which I believe we're at 55% ticking, is it higher? 70% automatically get approved at this point in time, or declined, decisioned, automatically decisioned. That's the right
word. Yeah. Yeah.
If it doesn't tick all the boxes in the algorithm, we have an entire team of underwriters who pick it up, open that file, and manually underwrite it. That takes about 10 minutes. If it ticks all the buttons of the algorithm, it's less than a minute.
Wow. Okay. So it is right away.
Absolutely.
So, and just kind of like gearing this towards, right, that kind of our listener base, right, which is, you know, these home service owners, these business owners, right? So what, explain how important it is to have a lender that has the range of lending. Explain, you know, give the, like, because I talked to many companies who are like, well, I'm with, you know, it could be like Synchrony, or it could be whatever. It could be whatever it is, right? And they're like, "Well, I know that for a fact, I don't get anything down below this, right?" And it's like, explain the process of one. What's the way that companies, like, what, when do they need that? Is it right away? Which I'm assuming is what it is. Then what does that process look like? And how important is that to have, be able to have that range? And how often do you see it utilized? And how many deals and do you think that saves? Right. Just give us kind of an idea.
And I'll, that was actually my next thing to talk about. But one of the things is that it's so important to one, we do an awful lot of sales training with the contractor, right? So to your point, if you're just a prime lender, you've got this, you've covered the top part of the FICO band. It's important to have obviously lenders that can cover the full FICO band, but more importantly, it's in the training to the sales techs that are sitting at the field to let the customer know that they have financing from great credit to not so great credit and everything in between. Because how many times have you been to a house, Jason, I'm sure, that you give the quote, it's $12,000, and they go, oh, well, my husband's not here right now, or my wife's not here right now. I'm going to run it past them. What I feel that is that you haven't given them something to say yes to. So when you go into the floor and you're sitting at the kitchen table, you give them the quote, hey, we have finance options from everything from great credit to not so great credit and everything in between. We have at Bubba's AC, we have the best chance of getting all customers a finance offer. So in other words, you're taking that objection right off the table from the standpoint of she's going, man, I don't have some not so great credit. So in other words, and you can expand on that, Michelle, as far as is having that option of what she can bring to the table of with the cover and the score is so important, because you don't know what that credit score is. And then there's also, as she said, the DTI situation. So,
yeah, there's nothing worse than, you know, poking a pin in the balloon at the kitchen table with the homeowner because you've got the do I think it's phenomenal to just be able to put in one application and cover the best credit down to the lowest credit one time? Yes. In your example where there's a Synchrony, that can be uncomfortable for a homeowner to run it through, get declined, and then you say, well, I've got another one. I can do this other one over here too. It's good. I mean, you got to have it, but it's really nice just put in the one application and know if any chance world of getting it approved, it's going to get approved.
Yeah, your drop-off rate. And Jace, you can probably talk about this a little bit too, because you've been in the field and done this. What is that? I mean, obviously that sucks for a homeowner. Do you ever see, and I'm sure you do, see drop-off from deals? Because it's like, oh, that didn't work. The next one's not going to either. I don't want them to hit my credit again. Maybe they don't understand how that works, but like, credit hits or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I'm assuming you've seen that in the field, Jace.
Yeah. So what you do is you actually see a lot of kind of back to the spouse thing. Like one gets declined and say, oh, actually I'll use my cousin or I'll use my father, but they're not here. So if you can just give us a call back, we'll go ahead and we'll run it then, or send us another application, we'll do it. And then the second one never follows through, right? Because
correct,
you know, they've been bothered at that point. But to that point, as far as going into having financing as being a tool in the tool belt is huge in this day and age. And we've talked about 100 times on here.
Correct.
As far as having that waterfall system set up, right? You know, we have people where the economy is at a debt. Right now, everybody's debt ratio is pretty much almost kind of peaked out. Everybody had to use credit cards. We're up at 80%, pretty much where everybody's at as far as charge. We're now starting to see kind of that turn as far as when people were getting the financing and getting the loans for the homes and mortgages. That's starting to catch up to people. So now, as to Tom's point, you're starting to see people default on some of these. Bankers are getting a little bit nervous now. So like, hey, we need to bump this up. We need to tighten things up. So there's a lot of things in the finance world that has been taking place over the past year that financing has made it just a little bit, I'd say a little bit more creative that we have to get on our side. So
have
your
you
customers
seen
are tighter.
I was just going to ask, Michelle, have you seen a change? This is something we've actually not even asked Tom. Have you seen a change in the last 5 years in terms of volume of deals that are financed versus not? Or do you feel like that's pretty
number like, of deals? Like,
yeah,
more
like
deals being financed.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, I've been at this particular company for 4 years, and the growth, the amount of new dealers coming on, more applications coming through, more funding dollars going out. Absolutely. It's it grows astronomically.
Yeah. I figured that's the way that it'll go. I was just curious to ask, because like I said, I do talk to some, then they're like, and it blows my mind even a little bit. And quite frankly, I'm like, I don't really know if they have an idea what they're talking about, or if they're doing it the right, or if they're selling enough volume, because it doesn't make sense to me. They're like, you know, everybody that I see writes a check. I was like, well, you're not selling enough then. And
right.
The first thing in my mind.
or you're not asking and you're losing that ticket, right? So, and that's really where a lot of them fall at is, as in the consulting world, when I'd walk into companies, a lot of times what would happen is 5 years ago to that point, 5 years ago, you could not offer financing and survive. Nowadays, if you don't have financing, you're probably not going to survive out there. And if you are, your average ticket's probably around $350, $400. If you compare an average ticket to a company that has financing and one that doesn't have financing, it's night and day. It's almost double digits. So
the upsell,
it's a big game changer.
Yeah, being able to upsell
by
having financing is absolutely amazing. And I did want to round back to something both of you were saying. With us, everything is a soft credit pull.
Yeah.
So lost that objection at the kitchen table as well.
Yeah.
Of, you know, I don't want it to hit my credit. My credit's not so great. I can't afford to have it dinged again.
Yeah.
What does soft pull versus a hard pull mean?
The soft pull means that we can see all of the information that's needed in order to do an approval or not offer anything back.
Yeah.
You can't say decline because you didn't do a hard pull. So you just don't find an offer. We don't, and it doesn't. Okay, so if somebody has credit card, they're going to say, oh, but I saw it. Yes, but it didn't affect your credit score. You can see someone checked your credit, but it doesn't affect your credit score.
The soft credit pull does not affect your
score. Correct. The credit pull is going to ding you. How much is it going to ding you? The better your credit, the less. The worse your credit, the more that it's going to hurt you, because the more credit pulls you have over a 12-month period, the worse it's going to be on your credit score. We don't do that hard pull until both the homeowner and the dealer have signed those loan documents.
That makes sense.
We don't touch their credit until then.
That makes
sense. So therefore, basically the customers that's in the shopping mode or whatever, where maybe, as opposed to some things you were talking about earlier, where that customer got ran on 5 lenders, and next thing you know, this got quite a hit on if they're pulling hard pulls versus the soft credit pull. So that's phenomenal that you're doing the soft credit pull until the final decision that lead the finance doctor sign. And at that point, it becomes a hard pull. Correct. Do you have much of a fall off between the customers after you pull the hard pull? As far as, is there any customer that may have gotten approved, but then once you pull the hard pull, that there's a denial?
Good question.
Never. Okay. Never. Our soft credit pulls are 100% guaranteed.
Okay, good.
So they're already far enough down that sales process where they're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice.
We ask for all the information that's needed, even on our soft credit pull, so that it is 100% guaranteed.
It's good.
Nice. Yeah, that makes sense.
That's huge.
Not to jump the gun too, because so you have a different order you want to go in here, but something I noticed when you send stuff over beforehand. What is going on right now?
I just did my list of questions on the ground. You go ahead, Cole. You're doing a great job.
I was going to ask you, because this kind of touches into my world, so it's important for some of the people on the marketing side, right? Like, we have people that market finance options all the time.
Which was my next subject, by the way. Go ahead.
You know, it's almost like you sent me the questions before the It's You're almost right, just like you. It's almost just like I'm so good, I don't need to have the paper in my hand. Tom, you can cut me off anytime, man.
That's awesome. Okay, I will right now.
Okay, perfect.
Go ahead, Colton.
This one was relative to me because we run finance stuff all the time, right? And it always seems like the more aggressive, the better in a sense, right? There's obviously mitigation of quality control, just because obviously we're a marketing company, right? So you want to, if you throw something too aggressive out there, you have to make sure you're, keeping an eye on quality on the back end and who's actually coming through and who's, going through that process. But do you see, and maybe I'm getting too far into the woods here, but do you see any, like, certain offers that you see people really trying to take you up on often? Is it always the most aggressive is the best? Is it always, Tom's got a sheet that no one can read? Well, that's, that was my question.
Let me answer the question. Any offers? Because basically, what I'm holding up here is one of those home flyers or home magazines you get in the mail or that comes to your house. And on this particular one, it's saying, Goodman 24 months, zero interest financing available on 16 series and above, and in little small print, credit card fees apply, offers expired, blah, blah, blah. Call for details. So, Michelle, as far as promotional financing, which you do offer, how important do you think that is for the contractor to, one, know about what's available, and two, being able to explain it to a customer, and three, know what it's going to cost him for that?
So, number one and number three, 100%. They've got to understand what they have, and they've got to be able to, I forgot what the last one was.
Is know what it cost them.
Know what it cost them. But the second one, totally 100% understanding financing. With us, my answer is no. All you have to be able to do is sell that homeowner a monthly payment that fits their budget, that you know the cost on, and you're not getting in over what you as a dealer can take off your bottom line. Our process allows us to talk to that homeowner and explain the financing forward, sideways, and backwards. I don't think reps should have to be finance majors. They need to be able to sell a monthly payment. You don't want them saying things at the kitchen table or the homeowner's table that are wrong. And that happens a lot when they try to be the expert. So I agree with you on your first and third point, but no, I don't expect them to be the finance experts. That's your concierge team's job.
And that's what we do a lot in talking to the customer. We say for the HVAC company or a home improvement contractor, you go show the steel, make the deal, and then turn it over to us. We know what your parameters are on the lender fees and what have you. We're going to get the best possible payment approved for the customer at the lowest lender fee for the dealer. So we play a big part in that concierge service of being able to manage that process. Our goal is for the customer to say yes. And we're not exactly sure where that is. Someone wants the absolutely lowest payment. And then you say, okay, I can give you 180 months. And the customer says, 180 months? How many years is that? I don't want to pay for it forever. But we explain to them that it's a matter of the, you're buying a payment. It's a no prepayment penalty. So if the payment is $110, you get short 1 month, you got $110. If you've got a lot of cash, send them $500 or $300 or $200 or whatever. But if it gets short again the following month, you've got the $110 payment. So buy payments.
Yeah, that makes sense. Do you have any data? Go ahead, Jace.
Yeah, no. So just really kind of to the point of the listeners. So you got a contract that's in there, like, yeah, man, we need it. And we need to get involved in this finance and in our you know, pool plan. Get some tools in the belt here for the guys, get them to start offering it. But my guys, obviously, they get out there, they talk to customers, and they kind of trip over their feet, right, when they're trying to start talking about payments and this, right? Because kind of like to her point, you know, they're not really that savvy when it comes to the financing side. You're lucky if they're ready to ask to collect the payment, right? So, I mean, we got technicians out there, and we got tickets that are owed, and at the end, they're like, just call the office and they'll collect the money for you, right? Because they're too scared for us to collect the dollar amount that's owed. But in that point or situation, you guys offer a service, which is the concierge service, right? So what's that? So if I'm a contractor and I'm sitting here and listening to this, I'm like, okay, this is what I'm getting involved in, but I know my reps, you know, like I said, it's, they want to turn a wrench half the time. They don't want to really do anything else outside of that. Obviously, we teach, coach, and train them to get there. So to a contractor, what does that process look like that on the services that you guys can offer to them to kind of, because they're all going to be about ease of use and convenience, right?
Well, if you're a contractor, you may have multiple lenders. You may have one for prime, one for second look, and then you one for the low credit scores. But what happens is you talk about the customer experience. You go to the sitting at the kitchen table, you give her the quote for $12,000, and it's like, you know, how's your credit, Mr. Jones? Oh, pretty good. Okay, so then the technician runs her through the prime and she gets turned down. Now you're sitting across from the kitchen table for her and you're looking her eyes like, hey, you got turned down by that one. Let me try another one. And then they try the second look guy and she gets turned down again. Now she's really embarrassed and it's like, you know what? Screw it. I need to talk to my husband. In other words, she wants you out of the house from the concierge program that we offer. Is that we get the contractor gives us the customer's information, name, address, telephone number, email address, if you have it, brand, seer, ton, and price. We call the customer and we say, hi, Jane, my name's Tom from Bubba's AC Finance Department, and may I pull us off credit pull to see where you're at? Now we know, is she an 850, 750, 650, 550, or 450, or 350? And from that point, we're going to traffic her to the best possible lender solution that we have. Michelle covers 70% of that FICO score band with one lender. So at that point, we're getting that customer. We put the customer's information. If we get her approved, we tell her. For some reason, Michelle doesn't approve that particular customer because of DTI or some charge-off history or the 186 attributes that she's looking at, whatever, says no. We have that third look option, but we're telling the customer, we're not telling the customer she got denied. We're saying, hang on, you know, we're still working this for you. And then we get her approved. And now we're giving her, you're approved with this deal. Here's the payment and things like that. So customer experience wise, we're not saying no, yes. Yeah. We're saying, okay, let me get you approved, Ms. Joe. So that's
cool. When does that process take place? Like, when do you get or when do you need to have that customer's information? Is it before the technicians are going out there? Just as a contract. So let's say I'm a contract and I don't know your process, right? Like, I know your process, but let's say I'm a contract and I'm like, hey, I'm thinking about giving, you know, this Tom guy a call because I need to get financing into my company. I need to know, how does that process work? You need my customer's information. Do you need that before we roll out there? Do you need it when we're at the table? When does that call happen?
We start by onboarding the contractor. First off, we get all the, you know, information to set that contractor up in our system. But now the customer set up, basically, you go to the home and you have the quote, you can send us that customer's information while you're sitting there with the customer, name, address, telephone number, brand, seer, ton, and price, if it's an HVAC. We then comes into our CRM. We have multiple ways to do that as far as special unique links and things like that. At that point, we go to work. We then, while you're, you know, oftentimes in the front yard or sitting in the kitchen table with them, we'll reach out to the customer right away. and then we start our program. You know, can we pull us off credit pull for quality assurance? We record all of our phone calls. Please state your first name and last name, what have you. We start the process, but we're working with them. And believe it or not, we do an awful lot of selling. In other words, and what I mean by that is that she's saying she's got a quote for a Rheem 3-ton, blah, blah, blah. You know, is Rheem a good, is that a good unit? I've never heard of Rheem or Carrier. Yeah, oh yeah, that's one of the top rated ones. You know, we're reassuring that customer of what you, the technician, is telling them and what have you. So we're validating the decisions that have been presented to her. But it's all about making it happen. What they want to know is they're approved and my air conditioner is going to be installed tomorrow and I'm not going to have to sweat to death with a bunch of fans running in my house.
And the way that I'm understanding it there, that's something that to Jason's point, you got that information when they were in the home. You mentioned a saying earlier that was pretty slick, something about selling the steel, we'll close the deal or whatever you said.
Show the steel, make the deal.
Yeah, there you go. So they're doing that all in the house right now. When we asked Michelle earlier, she's like, well, I have a 10-minute turnaround time if I have to go into actually manually doing it. Otherwise, it's auto-generated or whatever through an algorithm, right? So now how does that change the contractor's timeline, Tom, when they're sending that information into you and you go through that process? Is that now a 15-minute process? Or, like, is this – my question, I guess, is can they do it – because if I'm sitting there and I've already sold it and I've got them loving it because I'm the sales guy, right, and I've got them loving it and they love the system, they love me, they're great, they're just waiting on financing – I'm sitting on pins and needles while you're trying to figure this out to figure out what I can get a finance for. So what is that, especially if I'm an unexperienced salesperson and I'm not a very good salesperson in general, let's just say, right? That can be a very uncomfortable process for a tech or a selling technician or a comfort advisor. So what does that timeline look like? How soon can I give them the good news, bad news, whatever news, so I can get the hell out of the house or move on and get the deal done?
Well, one of the things is that with our technology, we have special unique application links that the technician can have the customer fill out that comes into our CRM, automatically pulls us all credit pull. We know pretty quickly. So maybe a couple more minutes for our process.
Okay, so it's quick.
Our technology, we get the application data. We then present it to Michelle, goes through the decisioning process. There may be some stipulations involved. You know, for example, if there's a proof of income, we may need a pay stub to upload or things like that, and that timeline is critical to talk about, because you have a contractor that says, well, we saw your podcast and they said it was 10-12 minutes. Well, the bottom line is we're also dependent on the customer's reaction time of what it takes to upload that proof of income. Or maybe it's a situation where there's some question on the title of the home that they want a mortgage statement uploaded and things like that. So we have no control over how long that takes from the customer. But again, we're talking to the customer on the phone. We're staying on the phone with them. We're often telling them or teaching them how to take a picture of the phone and they even text it to us as opposed to sending it to an email and into a digital file, and we're uploading it for them. So we're all hands on. We're a nice mediator from that. So,
and I think what's key on that is the fact of you guys being hands on, because that's a big turning point for a lot of contractors. We can offer the other financing, and everybody knows the lenders in our space. So I don't need to go through them, but there's multiple financing options that we all have that have the waterfall program, but they don't have that hands-on. And the convenience, the ease of use to say to my technicians, hey, when you get out to this home, and I don't know, Tom, have you guys started implementing the pre-approval score rating before they get out there just yet? Have you guys started doing that yet?
We're real close to, that's called Know Before You Go, and that's what we're working on right now. We've got some technical issues that we're working on, but we hopefully have that sooner than later to be able to give them a pre-qualified score.
Jason, can you see Tom working on technical issues back there? Tom checking out Tom.
Mm-hmm. Technical issues. Thank you.
He's been working on the green screen forever. I'm here. I'm gone. I'm here. I'm gone. But
you've got your hands full. I got my hands full.
The key is, so I think one of the big takeaways from this, and any contractor that is listening to this is going to say, hey, where I really can put where you all can really put your thumb on the scale on this one is offering that service. That's what's going to separate you from the other waterfall programs that we all know of and we all love and we all use, and I use them. But the one thing that separates is the fact of that concierge service, because that really is one of the biggest hurdles. I don't care how much you teach, coach, and train ride outs and do side by sides and whatever you want to do inside of a home with somebody. The minute you walk out that home and they're by themselves, 90% of the time they're going to go back to their comfort zone, right? The comfort zone is, I hate asking for money because I'm a technician and I turn a wrench. And number two, I might ask you for financing, but hopefully that text message went out before I got here and I don't got to mention it to you, right? That's kind of their mindset. So there's a lot of things that we as contractors are implementing. Like, we're doing things like the video brochures. We have video brochures that have four videos on it, right? That we now technicians just hand it to the customer. It tells them about our financing programs, right? And they watch that while our technician is doing the work on the home for that day, so that unfortunately the customer has to somewhat engage in that conversation or initiate that question. So that hurdle that we overcome 99% of the time, and this is why so many contractors are sitting back saying, why are my financing numbers not up when everything in this world is being financed, right? Everything's being financed, but my $19,000 systems are not, right? I'm getting all these checks coming through, into Colton's point. No, you're not just in that pocket of America that everybody has a deep wallet. It's just not happening, right? So what's really happening is just your technicians are not asking the question. And so what we can do is we can implement technology to initiate the response. Customer gets there, and then to then fully remove any type of hurdles out of the way is to have that concierge service that you guys do offer at that table. So that alleviates a lot of pressure off a technician, so that they'd be more comfortable to then offer finance a lot more. Because then I hear it all day, every day. We just implemented it to where it's fully integrated into our Service Titan, to where I'm literally trying to make it as simple as possible for them. Click 2-3 buttons. You got 2-3 steps. Just ask the question. You're good. They really don't want to sit at that table and do it. And you know, the contract rate still not going up. But if I said, hey, you can make a phone call like you do to tech support, and that's what they're used to. That's a system that they're used to. That's a process they're used to doing. They're used to calling tech support all the time when they're in front of a machine. So if they can call a financing company when they're in front of a customer, to them, that's the same exact, you see what I'm saying? That's the psychology behind it, is the same process they're already doing, opposed to sitting down with an iPad and going through a finance application. So I think that's going to be key, and that's one of the big takeaways, at least for me and myself, that we need to get implemented into our organization.
Oftentimes a contractor, or excuse me, a technician in the field has 15 more calls to make today. So he's like, holy crap, I got to get this one done. So I guess I got 15 more to do.
That's it.
Tom, not to push us here, I know we're running up on our stop time. What, any big topics we want to go through with Michelle before we finish here?
Any kind of recap of, like, you know, the state of the union in the finance space, as far as anything? We talked a little bit about promotional things and understanding what promotional offers are available and what have you. But I think you're seeing out of this Home Magazine, out of all the HVAC, you know, every one of them has something to be said about financing. So promotional, you know, the 24 months equal pays and things, the 18 month same as cash, and you have the new deferred same as cash. You've got a lot of different promotional items, but which you see that those promotional items as selling more? Do you see more out of the deals that you get? Is it more payment situations, like as in straight APR for a term, or do you see more desk act and same as cash and equal pay and stuff like that when you're doing your deals?
So it depends upon the vertical, right? Windows and doors are different than roofing, are definitely different than HVAC. In the HVAC space, I definitely see more of the same as cash, deferred same as cash, equal pays. Definitely see more there. Really popular right now because it's tax season. You'll see people going for the very low payment with, you know, picking that out to the 12-year term, but adding a 3-month deferred for the payments on it. I'm going to get my tax return, then I'm going to pay this. That's a great thing right now.
And what do you mean by deferred? What do you mean by that exactly? How does that work?
So from the date that the project is completed, And we call that homeowner and ask them what date of the month they would like their payment due on. It is 3 months before that first payment is due.
Wow.
Yeah. So hopefully they can get their tax refund in that period of time this year. we don't know for sure, but it's great at other times of the year, right? You've got people who are commission based. They know they're going to get a commission check, on July 15th. You get the end of the year where people are going to get bonuses in January. It's always a good time to don't walk away from that table. Anything that you can get them, right? The concierge
that they can say yes to.
That they can say yes to, because people buy payments.
Really?
Look at Tom's face.
That was a zinger.
Now, when I see windows, roofing, higher ticket items, those are going to go with a longer term so they can get the lower payments.
But so let me ask you on that question. Sorry to cut you off real quick, but what is the lowest ticket you guys accept through financing? Perfect. So they can be used for service as well.
We do not do service or repair. We do home improvement.
Gotcha. Yeah. So anything, like you said in the beginning, anything that goes with the home or stays in the home or whatever that when they sell, that was a good way to put it. Interesting. Yeah,
new duct work.
Yeah.
New things
that, makes sense.
Stay with that home are key. And we go all the way to $100,000. So we really cover it all. We have $1,000 to $100,000. We have 12 months to 20 years. So,
That's perfect.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest things, right? Once again, if we're thinking about, I know this was a good topic to have. I know Tom enjoyed having someone that you can ask good questions to. I mean, before I got to the questions, anyways. It was. I think if we're looking at like our, and you guys got into some deep stuff, which is good because it's good to have for the viewers and the guys that are listening on, whether it be Spotify or iHeartRadio or whatever, to have a better understanding of financing as a whole. Cause I think the biggest thing from a contractor space, right, is like, they want to know that it's easy to sign up. They want to, cause like when they go to, it's like coming to sign up with me, they don't want to do it. Right. But they know it's a need. Yep. Right. Yeah. So it's knowing it's easy enough to sign up and get onboarded. It's an easy process for their customer if they have a system down, because they don't want to, these guys are 90% of the time blue collar guys that want to just serve people. I run into guys who start companies just to create a sales force, but that's rare, right? Most of these guys are like, we have the best service and we have the best people and we treat people the best, and they don't want to inconvenience their customers with some salesy financing, right? Where it's like, if you can show that this is easy for your customer, it's good for your customer, you're going to be able to make more money because you can upsell ethically and give them a better system, and it's easy process to start. I think that's a win. Anything closing from you, Tom, Jace, anything that we didn't touch?
One of the things that you just put, when you talk about financing and people buy payments, but in other words, if you're a contractor that's giving that good, better, best system, and that information comes to us and we see that you have an $8,000 a $9,500 deal and an $11,500 deal. And at that point, it's depending on SEER and, whatever makes the difference in good, better, best. We're taking that information and talking to the customers, and we take it out of the $9,000, $10,000, $11,000, and we turn it into monthly payments. Well, you may be at this this metal brand, and usually on a good, better, best, people buy the metal. But in the situation of it, it's like, well, this one, you're going from a 15.2 SEER to a 18 SEER unit. That's going to make an incredible difference in your power bill, things like that, because it's going to be more efficient. And by the way, you're looking at $17 more a month, but you're going to save well and above that by going to the middle system. So I tell you that we're doing a lot of sales, that's the kind of sales stuff that we're doing, where we're encouraging them, because people buy payments, that that we're giving them that offer on a good, better pest.
Yeah, they're looking at a $17 payment increase a month, but they're going to the next best thing that's going to save them X amount in utility costs and whatever repairs in the future, whatever it might be. Cool. That makes complete sense.
Yeah.
That was awesome, Michelle. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yes, thank you, Michelle.
Tom doesn't always get to ask these cool questions and go through this process. So
it's hard to talk over these two guys. Okay?
He's the lone wolf. Yeah, we keep telling him to interrupt us. He's figuring it out. It only took like a year and a half. He's getting there. He's figuring it out. But
once he figured out how to come from the background, he was good.
Yeah, we appreciate having you.
You bet. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. We'll see you on the next one.
All right. See y'all.
Bye. Thanks, everybody.